That's the intent of it. And to cause you to realize what you have and the blessings that are yours because you belong to Jesus, not because you've attained it, but because it has been given to you through your obedience to Christ. Let me real quickly introduce again, just re-invite you. Lance already did, but guys, men, we need you to sign up tonight if you intend to go on the men's retreat. Jerry Barber will be the speaker. And like I said this morning, Jerry's one of those guys you just keep a notebook when you're around him because he has so many short, pithy thoughts and seeds that causes you to just slow down and think about that a little bit. And I know that he'll have a lot of good stuff to say. That will be a Friday night and a Saturday night. The sign-up sheet is on that bulletin board right behind the training room there. And if you can sign up tonight and let us know how many are going to be there, that would be great. I think that there are a lot of Christians who live their lives far less and far lower than maybe the way God intends them to live their life. We're more than conquerors. We have defeated sin and Satan, not again because of our own might, but because we belong to Jesus. And I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8 because we're going to look there in just a minute. But I think here's the thing. Sometimes, even though God says we are more than conquerors, if God is for us, who can be against us? Even though the Bible says that, we sometimes walk around as though we are defeated. We get discouraged. We get depressed. We even despair at times. And I don't think that's the way God intends for people who are heaven-bound to live their life or to dwell there. I know we all have moments and we all have times when we feel overwhelmed and so forth, but we're more than conquerors. And I think that sometimes we don't, if I place upon myself expectations that are not realistic, I get to beating myself up. You see, if I start saying, oh, I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do this as well, and I don't get any of those done, then I start feeling bad about myself. And when I feel bad about myself, then I can't enjoy the fact that I am a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And so I think the thing to do is to alleviate some of the false expectations that we place on ourselves. And I think a starting point or a way to begin to do that is to simply ask this question. If Jesus couldn't, why do we think we can? You see, there are things that even Jesus could not do. And if he couldn't do them, then why do we burden ourselves? Why do we saddle ourselves with those same thoughts and say, we've got to do this. I'm responsible for this. I've got to carry this. If Jesus couldn't, why do we think we can? So that's what I want us to look at tonight, and we'll give several illustrations and examples of some things that Jesus couldn't do, and if he couldn't do it, then why do you think you could do it? And why do you carry that burden and that guilt around with you that pulls you down and drags you down? First of all, let's just start right here. Turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 8, and listen to what the Lord says through the Apostle Paul. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Listen, if God would let his son die for us, do you think he would hold back something that's good for you? Not in the least. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. You know, what's the devil going to say? How's he going to charge you if God is the one that says, you're okay, you're not okay, and you're his? There's nothing he can make stick. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present or things to come nor height or depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That passage, if you struggle and you don't feel good about yourself and you're worried and you feel like a failure, you need to read this frequently. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I want you to understand that it's not because of anything that you have attained, but it is a state, it's a relationship that we have that is based on what Jesus did for us and how we responded to what he did. How would you, if you were God, how would you try to say, listen, you're a winner, but not of your own merit and might? How might you communicate that? I know what he did in the Old Testament. You go back to the book of Judges. You remember Judges chapter 7, Gideon, and he's going to fight the Amalekites, or excuse me, the Midianites. And so he has this huge army, and he says, well, everybody that doesn't want to fight and that's scared will go on home. And a bunch of people went home. And he began to just cull down the army until he had just 300 men. And then God said, that'll do. I'm going to take you 300 men, and we're going to go out there and defeat the Midianite army. Now, there's no way 300 men could have defeated that enemy, but they did. And every one of them knew it wasn't by our own might, it was by the power of God. By narrowing that army down to just 300 men, it was proof to everybody, yes, you're victorious, but you didn't do it on your own. How does God communicate to us today that you are victorious, but it's not of your own merits? I think it's summed up in verse 36. I know we've addressed this before, but look at what it says. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But yet he says we're conquerors. We are more than conquerors. But what are we? We're sheep led to the slaughter. Conquering sheep. Imagine that for a second, if you will. That's what the Lord is picturing for us. He says we are conquering sheep. We're just like sheep that are led for the slaughter. Well, you know, I don't know. I've not been around sheep very much in my life, and I don't know that many of you have, but they don't strike me as being ferocious. You know, they may lay on you or something, I don't know, but I can't see them biting you and attacking you and bowling you down, you know. And it's a sheep. You know, what do sheep do? Sheep aren't aggressive, but we are more than conquerors, even though we're sheep. Led to the soul. That's God's way of saying, listen, it's not because of you. It's because of me. But because of me, you are what you are. You're more than a conqueror. Well, if Jesus couldn't do it, then why do we think we could? Let's look at a few things that Jesus could not do. If Jesus couldn't make his own family believe that he was the Son of God, then why do we beat ourselves up because some of our family members don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I understand the desire to teach your own family and to convert. I understand the desire if your spouse, if your husband is not a Christian, or if your wife is not a Christian, or if your children are not Christians. I understand the desire to make that, you know, take root in their lives. I get that. But if it doesn't happen, it's not something to beat yourself up over and feel guilty about. In John chapter 7, do you remember Jesus? There are people that want to kill him in Judea, and so he moves up to Galilee, and he's hanging out of Galilee, and his own brothers, come to him and say, hey, you know what? Why don't you go back down there to Judea? Now, he was avoiding Judea because he was afraid they were going to kill him down there. And so he went to Galilee, and his own brothers are saying, why don't you go back down there to Judea? Total contempt for Jesus. And they say, you know, if you can do all these things that you say you can do, well, then why don't you go down there and show them? Everybody's going to be there because it's feast time. So go down there and show them. And they didn't even believe. The brothers of Jesus did not believe that Jesus was who he claimed to be. And they treated him with contempt. Jesus told them, well, it's not my time, so I'm not going to go down there. But if you guys want to go, it's okay if you do. But here's the point. Jesus didn't even convert his own family. Now, we know later, after his resurrection, that at least some of his brothers came around and wrote the book of James and the book of Jude in our Bibles. But prior to that, they were unbelievers. On one occasion, they thought he was out of his mind. They came to take him away because they thought he had just totally lost it. And so then there's our families. I wish my children would this. I wish my wife would this. I wish my husband, or I wish my mom and dad would just, and because they don't do what we want them to do, it's a burden that weighs on us and it tears us down, and we own responsibility for that. And I'm saying, you can't do that. I know that you want them to change, and I know that you want them to surrender their lives to Jesus, but even Jesus couldn't make it happen. Even his own brethren refused to believe. So what we need to do is do all we can and leave it to the Lord. Pray for them and do what we can to try to bring them to Jesus, and leave it in the Lord's hand and not bear that guilt and that weight. Here's another thing that Jesus couldn't do. Jesus couldn't avoid sadness and sorrow in this life. You remember what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3? He talked about how that Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He knew grief. He knew sorrows. Isn't that odd that the Son of God, I mean, God himself would come to the earth and take on flesh and be somebody that isn't living as a king, isn't on top of the world, but he's someone who's very familiar with grief and sorrow. That's our Lord. Then if Jesus couldn't avoid sorrow and grief, why do we think we can? We have expectations. Sometimes we get upset with God and say, God, why, you know, if you love me, why? Why does this happen to me? Why do you allow this to happen? Why is this going on? I don't understand it. Well, listen, Jesus dealt with it. And if Jesus couldn't get out from under the oppression of grief and sorrow, what makes us think we can? We, again, need to bear up under, lean on God through those difficult times, and trust in him. Where did we get the notion that life was going to be easy because we're a child of God? I know I've used this illustration before, I think, here, but it serves to remind me what our problem really is with this regard. I heard this story years ago about a man who was a farmer, lived out in the country, never had much to do in the city. And he called in to a radio program. The fifth caller was going to get an all-expense trip paid to New York City. He called in. Sure enough, he's the fifth caller. So they come to pick him up in a limousine. He's never seen a limousine before, let alone been in one. And he's playing with the gadgets in the back seat as they drive him to the airport. He's never been on an airplane before. I mean, he's just amazed at what is taking place, and he goes up and flies, and they land in LaGuardia, and they pull. There's a limo there to pick him up, and they take him to this huge hotel with elaborate architecture, and his jaw is just dropped at what is taking place. He's never experienced this before, and there's a man there that picks up all this stuff, this bellhop, and carries him and says, "I'm here to take you to your room, and let me carry your things there." And so they go in, they open the door, and they step in, and as they step in, the bellhop looks at the guy, and he looks a little disappointed. And he said, "Sir, if there's something that's not right, you let me know. I'm here to make you happy, and you don't look happy." And he said, no, I can't complain. I've experienced more than I ever have in my life already, and it's all free, and so it's not my place to complain." And the bellhop said, "No, if there's something not right, you tell me." And he said, "Well, I don't mean to complain, but I just expected my room to be bigger. And I thought that I wouldn't have to share it with anybody. There were some other people in the room." And the bellhop looked at him kind of funny and said, "Sir, your room is 60 stories up. This is just the elevator that takes us there. You know, that guy, we laugh at that. It's silly. But that's precisely the mistake that a lot of Christians make. They confuse their journey with their destination. God never said, you will have a bed of roses here on this earth. Heaven comes after, not while we're here. And so stop living as though God owes you heaven while you're here. He doesn't. He didn't even give it to his son. So let's bear up and let's quit waiting for and being agitated with God because bad things happen to us in this life." Here's another thing that Jesus couldn't do. Jesus couldn't go without rest. So why do we think and why do we labor under guilt that makes us work 24/7? If even Jesus, the Son of God who came to save mankind, if even he needed to say, Mark 6 verse 31, "Listen, guys, we need to get away from the people. We need to take a break. Let's get away from these guys." If even Jesus needed time alone, don't you think you do too? Jesus didn't work 24/7. Yeah, but I mean, there's a lost world. There's people that don't know Jesus. There's things to do. Yeah, there was. And even knowing that, Jesus took time to rest. Let's stop laboring as if we have to do something that Jesus himself couldn't even do. We have to take time to rest, spend time with our families, and not simply burn both ends of the candles in the name of doing the work of the Lord. You know what? Doing the work of the Lord may mean spending time with your wife. Doing the work of the Lord may mean spending time with your children. Doing the work of the Lord may be slowing down and relaxing so that you're not burned out and that you can continue to work for years to come. Why would we expect ourselves to do what Jesus himself couldn't even do? Here's another thing that Jesus couldn't do. Jesus couldn't cause all men to repent. Well, before that, he couldn't avoid making enemies. John 15, verse 18, Jesus said, "You know, they hated me, they're going to hate you too." If you have enemies, deal with it. Kill them with kindness, as Paul says. You know, overcome evil with good. Nobody likes enemies, but if Jesus himself had enemies, then why do you think you wouldn't have any? Jesus himself said you would. Just last night, I was going through some things. I'm going through and trying to clean out boxes that has a lot of stuff from my dad. My mom just moved out of the house, and so I'm slowly trying to work through some of that. And Dad had a radio program for over 40 years, and it was a daily radio program, and he had people write in almost every day and write to him. And he had a file, letters from radio correspondents. And so I started opening these up, and it was like, whoa, hate-filled letters. I guess he threw the nice ones away and kept all the bad ones. I don't know. But he had this file of these, man, such hatred and mean-spirited and foul language and cursing that was thrown his direction because he preached what Jesus taught. It happens. What are we going to do with that? Are we going to just curl up and fade away? Listen, Jesus couldn't get rid of the haters. So why do we think we can? It's just a fact of life. We need to just, you know, get thicker skin and trudge on serving the Lord. Don't let somebody dissuade you from going to heaven. Don't let someone dissuade you from doing what Jesus wants you to do. I once heard this story about a preacher that was getting all kind of anonymous letters, hate-filled letters, and the guy would just leave it in the pulpit. And he'd get up to preach, and there'd be this letter, long letter, and he'd take it home and read it, and no name was signed to it. And just hate-filled things, hard, hurtful things. And one day he got up to preach, and he saw that piece of paper, and it just had one word on it. It just said, fool. And without missing a beat, that preacher said, you know, I've gotten a lot of anonymous letters through my years of preaching. People write all these mean and ugly things and never sign their name. But today's a first. They signed their name and didn't write a letter. And, you know, you have to think about that for a second. But, you know, that there are going to be people that don't love you. They hate you for what you stand for. Jesus couldn't get rid of that. Neither can we. Jesus couldn't cause all men to repent. So don't labor under the burden that I've got to make these people change. Try. Give your best efforts. But you can't obey for someone else. Be content with your efforts. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, Jesus couldn't get people to change. He said that there were people who, you know, they just wouldn't change. They wouldn't repent. Okay? Well, if that happened to Jesus, can it happen to us? Yeah, it can. So just do your best and leave it in God's hands. And then the last thing that I want to share with you is that Jesus couldn't even forgive all men their sins. So why do we lay that burden on ourselves? Why is it that when people sin against us and they have no penitence and they show no regret or remorse, and we feel obligated that everything has to be hunky-dory and okay, and we have to just go on our way and act as though nothing has ever taken place? That's not what Jesus did. And he wouldn't ask us to do what he himself wouldn't do. Listen, Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am he, I'll forgive you anyway. That's not what he said. He said, you will die in your sins. You see, there were people that Jesus could not forgive. When Jesus was on the cross, even though he had the power while on earth to forgive sins, when he was on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't say, Father, I forgive them. They had to appeal to the Father. He was saying, God, don't hold this against them. Don't be so angry with them for what they've done to me that you will not forgive them. If Jesus wanted to forgive them, he could have done it. But he didn't just offer forgiveness to everybody. Those same people that nailed him to the cross had to, 50 days later, respond to the gospel and be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. You see, Jesus always had a willingness to forgive people, but he didn't forgive them unless they turned from their sin. And if Jesus couldn't do it, why do we labor under the impression that we must do it as well? These are just a few things. The point that I wanted to get across tonight is that, you know, we're conquerors. If God is for us, who can be against us? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Through your obedience to the gospel and your faith in Jesus Christ, and as you walk with him through life, you have promised you a home in heaven that no one can take from you. Man, that is good news. So don't live as a loser. Don't live as one who's been defeated. Don't live in despair. You're a conqueror. Jesus has done better for you. And I think that the way to live as a conqueror maybe is to take off some of these expectations we have placed on ourselves. Not that God has placed them on us, but we've placed them on ourselves. And they're unattainable. And they are unattainable even for the Lord himself. So look at the expectations you have of yourself in your own life. What are the things that are pulling you down? What are the things that are causing you to despair? Are they things that are out of your control? Are they things that even were out maybe of the control of the Lord himself? If so, don't own that. Here's what we need to do. We need to live as a conqueror, understanding that we don't conquer of our own merit and of our own might, but through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And place no more expectation and responsibility on yourself than what the Lord does. Don't own things and don't own responsibility for things that you cannot control, nor could the Lord himself. And I believe that if we will do that, we will find more joy, less despair, more hope, and less discouragement. And as we go forth this week, let's do our best to live for Jesus. But don't despair under the weight of the burdens that this world has. If you're here tonight and you're not yet a child of God, I want you to take this opportunity now to obey the gospel. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you haven't done that, do that tonight. If you're a child of God already and unfaithful, and it's time to get back, to live for him again, to know his forgiveness, we'll pray with you tonight if you'll come as we stand together and sing.